Explain gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning, and I'll tell you, you're interrupting me. You're interrupting me just a little bit. But maybe we can work something out, because what you've interrupted is I'm looking for seeds. I'm really looking hard for seeds. It's the time of year to start looking for seeds for the coming spring. You know, and I hadn't really thought about this before, but if you were going to look for seeds this time of year for friends, for spouses, wow, this is perfect. Listen, it's not just that we need seeds. We got this Christmas thing coming up. And you know what? Why? I got all kind of stuff in my stockings when I was younger. But wouldn't it be cool if in your stockings you got seeds for Christmas? You don't need a lot to garden. You need leaves that you get from the neighbors. Yeah, you need that. You may need a little bit of lime, not even much. You may need a little bit of fertilizer, and that can come in many forms. You might need a shovel. All those things easy to get. But what you really need are seeds. And what a great time of year for seeds. All kinds of seeds. So, since you're interrupting me, I'll tell you what I've been looking for. First off, we got to just get this out of the way. We got to talk about sugar snaps. This is the time of year to order your peas. Now, these are the edible peas. These are the green peas, the English peas, the snow peas. My favorites are the sugar snap peas. They seem to be you get the most out of them. That's one of the things I love about sugar snaps, is you really do get a lot out of them. Now, Grandma and Granddaddy, they loved the English peas, too. They're absolutely delicious. There's nothing like fresh English peas out of the garden, if you don't mind shelling them. And, you know, I'm going to start growing English peas again just because it's a thing to do, because Grandma and Granddaddy did it, and it's a great thing. But sugar snaps, that's a great way to start. Let me suggest that you start looking for sugar snaps. There's southern exposure is as good a place as any. And if I were just starting with sugar snaps, I would try from Southern Exposure Seed. I'd try the regular sugar snap, the old sugar snap that was developed in the 70s, it's a great one. It's really a sweet classic sugar snap. The one called what do they call it? Sugar Ann. Sugar Ann is a great dwarf sweet pea. A big sugar snap, and it's dwarf. You just can get some little sticks to let it climb on. You don't have to do anything elaborate. Sugar snaps, you want something bigger for it to climb on. And then the Amish sugar snaps, which are a really old-fashioned variety, which I really like. I really think they're great. They come in pretty early. They're really nice that way. So three great sugar snaps, and that's for eating. But, you know, while we're thinking about peas, I should talk about that other pea because I'm looking for it right now. Sweet peas. Sweet peas are not what you eat, folks. Let's just be clear. Sweet peas are what your grandmother grew because of the fragrance, the incredible fragrance and the beauty of these flowers. We have a hard time with sweet peas on the Gulf Coast because you can't plant them in spring and expect them to bloom. You really, maybe the best time to plant, and I'm not sure what the best time to plant is, honestly. Maybe the best time to plant would be, maybe October. Maybe early October. But there's problems to planting in October. I think December, early December, or mid-December, or late December, may be an ideal time to plant sweet peas. Where am I going to get these sweet peas? Look, I'm going to Renee's Garden. Renee's Garden. It's on the internet. They've got all kind of sweet pea varieties. The reason why I'm being a little picky is because we want sweet pea varieties that don't take a lot of day length to bloom. I know this is going to tease your brain just a little bit. Days are getting shorter. Have you noticed? It wasn't the time change. It's just that days get shorter in winter, and it takes a long time for them to build back up again in summer. And our days don't get long as quickly as days farther north in, say, England. So what we need are peas that don't require a long day length to bloom. Sweet peas that don't take a long day length to bloom. So I've got a lot of them, some really great ones, that will start blooming much earlier before the heat sets in. If you plant them in December, and we can talk about how to do that, plant them in December, you'll have these great varieties. Zinfandel is a great one. The Elegance series, Chiffon Elegance is a good one. Velvet Elegance. Strawberry Fields is another early one. And then there's some others that you might try. April in Paris, Perfume Delight. These can bloom a little bit earlier than other sweet peas, and that's kind of a good thing. You call me and let's talk about sweet peas if you want to do that. And it's not just sweet peas that these are things you could stuff stockings with. What else would I be getting this time of year? Ooh, I'd be sure looking at stuff like petunias. Petunias could be a really great thing to start. Use some of the old-fashioned petunias. The ones that are harder to find, there's a Southern Exposure Seeds, for example, has a petunia that's called the Balcony Petunia. They also have a long vining petunia that I think they're out of right now, but the Balcony Petunias are there. They're really great. They're really easy. It's a lot of fun to sow. It really has a great fragrance, which is one of the things we miss from a lot of petunias nowadays. Really great things. The other thing, marigolds. Now, I know you think of, because you've been trained to think of marigolds as a summer flowering plant. They're not the best summer flowering plants for a lot of reasons. They don't do that well in July, but they do great in spring, into May and early June. They do great again in fall. Sow your marigolds. Get your marigold seeds now. Sow them so that they will be blooming in April, May, and June. And there are some great marigolds out there. There are a bunch of great ones. I'm actually going to be using some marigolds that are edible. I know that sounds incredible, but indeed some are. Some are used as spices. Some are used as coloring. They're really kind of beautiful. I'm also going to grow some other marigolds that are really great at controlling nematodes. So if you've got nematode problems, however you want to say it, it's a problem. If you've got those problems in your garden, and a lot of you do, growing these marigolds can help, and we can talk about how that works. Tashkent is one from Southern Exposure that works very well. I'm getting some from Pine Tree Garden Seeds that is actually, I think it's called Nemagon or something like that. It's a marigold designed to get rid of those nematodes. But a lot of marigolds work very well to control nematodes. It's kind of amazing how well they work, and we can talk about that. Gosh, there's lots of great seeds. You know the other great seeds that I'm getting? And this could be good for somebody in your family who loves peppers and tomatoes. But let's just talk about those peppers. Man, there's some great pepper varieties out there. I am looking for them right now. The Bacottom peppers I'm very excited about. You call me. Let's talk about what kind of peppers would be really good for your garden. What kind of peppers would be good for the spouse of yours who loves peppers and would like to experiment? We'll talk about what kinds. You can get those peppers, put them in the stocking. What a great Christmas gift. Seeds. You want to give me something good for Christmas? Seeds. You know, that's something that's going to last all year. You don't just pick it up and open it up at Christmas and then forget about it. You put them in the ground, and man, they're giving you something great all year long. Seeds. Hey, we're going to talk about wine today. We got the recipes, Satsuma wines. We're going to talk a little bit about how wines work. Dan's going to call in. All this is really cool. Stay tuned. We got a good long morning of information.
Because everything you're going to get down on your bending knees, I ain't going to dig no more taters. I decline, I ain't going to pick no peas. Because everything you're doing on the phone, you know you got to go. I'll get down on your bending knees.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Keith is complaining because I'm talking too fast. Well, there's lots to talk about, okay? There's lots of seeds to buy. If you're interested in a particular type of seeds, remember some of the seeds we talked about that are really great to go ahead and order this time of year. And you can order lots of seeds getting ready. In fact, it's what I'm doing. I'm just sort of consolidating all my seed purchases right here at this time of year so that I won't forget about them and that they'll be ready to plant when time comes. But there's this late December, and in fact right now, is a great time to begin planting seeds that will be really good for you in March, April, May, June. Perfect time. That's a summer in and of itself. It's more than most people have for summer, and that's just the start of our gardening year. But you got to sow those seeds now. Sugar snaps and peas. The peas are really important. If you've never grown edible peas, English peas, sugar snaps, snow peas. Yeah, you want to know how to do it? Give me a call. The 12 days of Christmas is the time that I remember to plant. It's actually an ideal time. We can talk about how to plant. It works great. Great time. You know, I think the sweet peas are very good. If you're interested in sweet peas, these are not edible peas. Sweet peas are fragrant peas that make beautiful flowers. Just really great. This is the time to plant them. And we'll talk a little bit about how to plant those. Peppers, marigolds, petunias. Oh, and we could talk about nasturtiums, too. We might as well talk about nasturtiums. All these things that we can be planting now. Really great time of year to do it. Give me a call if you've got specific questions on any of those things. Is Ricky still on? Ricky still online there? Ricky, you there?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what's up.
Man, you talked about buying seeds. And what I'm curious about is, what if you can't buy them anymore? Well, why can't I make my own seeds? Take tomatoes, take your peppers, and take the seeds out, keep them, plant them next year. What's the difficulty in that?
Not at all. It's just you got to think about a few things. In fact, I'll tell you, because some of the seeds that I would love to have are no longer available, there's some great peppers, for example, that are just absolutely fabulous. They're from South American peppers, Ahi Omnicolor, and I really, really want some Ahi Omnicolor seeds, but nobody's selling them right now. There's some kind of vague thing on Amazon where somebody's selling them, but I'm not even sure they're correct. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save those pepper seeds. So let's talk about peppers and tomatoes. In general, most peppers and tomatoes are pretty easy to save. They don't cross with each other. So that means they pollinate themselves. They tend to pollinate themselves, which means that they are essentially producing clones of themselves. This is hard for people to understand because we don't do it this way. We're hybrids. All of us are hybrids. We're natural hybrids, and there's some advantages to being a hybrid. But when you get a hybrid, you're not like your parent. Tomatoes and peppers have been bred so that they often pollinate themselves. So it's usually pretty easy to save seed from them, and you'll get exactly the same as the parent. And so that's really good. With tomatoes, there's very little chance of crossing as long as you're growing standard tomato varieties. So you can just take the seeds, save them, plant them. You'll be in great shape.
Okay.
As long as those tomatoes themselves weren't hybrids.
That's where I run into the problem, I guess.
Right. Right.
What varieties are those single...
What I run into is the
seeds don't seem to produce the fruit that they did the last year. And I don't know where to get the seeds that keep going.
That's right. So here's how you do it. They're described as open pollinated varieties. Most heirloom varieties, which is a meaningless term, but most heirloom varieties are open pollinated. So if you see a variety listed as an heirloom or as open pollinated, you know you can save the seed from it pretty easily. And that includes...
They sell those, right?
Yep. And you can, Cherokee Purple, classic open pollinated heirloom variety. And it's, you can, you see it a lot. It's a great one. And it's easy to save the seeds from that one. Okay? That's easy. But look for heirloom or open pollinated. If you find a variety and you're not sure about it, you can call me. Just call me next week or sometime when you're looking for it.
And if you find it,
Yeah, no. So the problem is,
I need the right variety to grow here. Yeah. That's an heirloom.
Yeah, absolutely.
The right variety to grow in New York, that's an heirloom, not the right variety here.
Yeah, well, tell me, Ricky, tell me where you live exactly.
Mobile County, about midway.
You live out in the county? Yeah, so... There's a lot of possibilities. I'll tell you, for me, the easiest, a lot of times, the hybrids can be a little better because they produce earlier, and producing early is really important in Mobile. And that's the trouble with saving seeds in Mobile is that the larger tomatoes, the hybrids tend to produce earlier, and producing early is something really that can be very good for us. It's just that you can't save the seeds from those. I will tell you, and I'll just tell you, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you. The best flavor, the most productive tomatoes, the tomatoes that everybody's really happy with are not the big tomatoes, which have lots of problems. They don't produce until very late when it's too hot. They get all kind of bug problems. They're really susceptible to stink bugs, which are a huge issue. If you'll get smaller tomatoes, and there's some really great small tomatoes out there, the names are jumping out of my head right now, but I'll think of them during the next commercial break.
Well, it's not just tomatoes, Bill. It's everything. It's okra.
Yeah.
It's peppers. It's okra. All them heritage things that I don't have to go to a store. I don't have to order nothing from nobody. I can make my own seeds from the fruit that I've
used
the year before. That's
okra
the big
varieties.
Thing I was talking about.
Yeah, and so there's lots of them. Beans, rattlesnake bean, rattlesnake pole bean, one of the best, absolutely one of the best beans you could grow. You can save the seeds from it every year. Really great. There's some great lima beans that do really well. Florida speckled. It's easy to save the seeds on those. Okra. Boy, I could talk about okra for a long time, but bowling red is a beautiful okra that I would love to save seeds on. Alabama red, the okra called Alabama red, a great okra, a lot of fun, really great okra to save seeds on. None of those are hybrids, so they're all really good.
Bill, thank you for all your help. I got two kids running out. They're ready to go.
Yep.
I got to go play.
All right, good.
All right, thank you.
So there it is. Just thoughts about, if you can save your own seeds, you got to understand the difference between hybrids and open pollinated varieties. And sometimes you have to keep seeds from crossing, and we can talk about how that works. With things like okra, you really want to grow only one variety of okra. You don't want to mix varieties of okra. You want to grow an open pollinated okra and only grow one type. Lots of questions about saving seeds, but boy, what a great time of year to begin planting seeds and having seeds. We can talk, and you all give me a call, and we can talk more about saving particular kinds of seeds. Each kind of seed has its own particular requirements. We got to think about it and how to do it, and that's an awful good thing. Sometimes you have to get started with seed. you have to start with a seed in order to save it, and that's kind of what we're trying to figure out this morning. What kind of seeds do you need to be buying now? What kind of seeds could you be giving as gifts to people? That would be a really big question. As the morning goes on, it looks like I think we're going to succeed in doing this. Is we're going to talk a little bit about making wine. Dan says he's on board, but he needs just a little bit of time, and that's okay, Dan. You take your time. Dan, if it's easier, we can talk about it in the next hour. But we're going to talk a little bit about making wine, about how to do it. Jim has given me a great copy of his recipe. Now, this wine is about making wines out of your own fruits in your own garden. And we're going to really focus on Satsuma wines this morning. That's going to be really cool. And we're going to talk about seeds of all kinds. I'm kind of excited to do that this morning. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. I'm thinking about the seeds of Christmas. Yeah.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on, tell me, baby. In the pond, where the sun don't ever shine. I was shivering all night too.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. And we got a lot of things to talk about. I'm gonna start out with Jim's. Jim from Georgetown has sent me a beautiful recipe for Satsuma wine. And I got to figure out how to do this. I mean, I can certainly read the recipe through, and Jim's made it very easy for me to do that. Thank you, Jim. It's with a lot of great advice written in as well. There's a lot of information here, and Keith is not going to be able to write this fast. Is that right, Keith? So the problem is, how do I communicate this to you? I don't know. We're going to give it a shot this morning. First, I know we've got a caller. About moving a lemon tree. Is that correct? Thomas, I'm listening. What's up?
Morning, Bill. I'm the one that sent the picture of the lemon tree last week and was asking about pruning away the rootstock. And in between then and now, Terminix has come and let me know that it has to be moved so that they can do the trenching for the liquid defense. And was wondering if it's even worth it. The tree's about 4 years old. It's only been in the ground about a year and a half.
It probably is very movable. And I think you could do that. This would be a terrible time to move it, though. I think you'd be wasting your time moving it right now. I really wouldn't move it. It's a tricky question. I think I would move it in March, and not before, because well, maybe you could move it late February. Late February would be fine if that timing is okay. Now, it is a question of, does it make sense just to buy another tree at this point? And you're going to have to do a lot of work to move the tree and to make it happy and healthy. I think probably since it's only been in the ground a year and a half, I think there might be some advantage to moving it now. It wouldn't be too bad. Just get a big enough root ball. And if it, if you start contemplating it and say, eh, I don't know. When do they have to put the liquid fence in? That's the big question.
They said they are about 2 to 3 months behind on getting to people's houses. So it might be, late February before they get to me.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, I think you can move it. I think you
can. Okay. And one other quick question. My mom has requested a yew tree for Christmas. Is this a good time to put one in the ground, or should we wait?
Yeah, it'd be just fine. Now, the yew can mean a lot of things, Y-E-W. And I suspect, in fact, I'm certain that the only yew she would want, because it's the only yew that would survive here, is going to be a Podocarpus yew, rather than the yews from that they typically grow in England. So
yes,
make
sir.
Sure you get a Podocarpus. And, yeah, they are perfectly hardy. They'll be fine to put in the ground right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate the help this morning, Bill.
All right. Good to hear from you. Call me back if you decide to move it. Let's talk about the technique.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Lola, I'm listening. What's up?
Yeah, hi again, Bill. Listen, can you tell me the varieties of the marigolds that you can put in foods that and eat? I mean, when I was growing up, I grew up in Virginia, and my mother used it in soups and stuff, but I had some salads out in California where they used a lot of the marigold flowers in the salads, and they were delicious, but I have no idea and no way to find out what kind they were.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different kinds, and most of them can be used. But some taste better than others, and some have a little bit more kind of a marigold sharpness to them. But let's talk about the ones that are famous. Hawaiian orange. Several people who sell it, but I think if you look up Hawaiian orange marigold, I think you're going to find it. I think Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds sells that one. And it's a very good marigold for coloring. People use it for coloring foods, for food coloring. Mm-hmm. But the petals are also good in salads. It's great if you want to. In fact, one of the things that Hawaiian gold is grown for, that variety, and it goes under several names, but Hawaiian orange. One of the things it's grown for is to feed to chickens to make their eggs especially rich in orange coloration. So it's actually used commercially to feed to chickens. So that's a really good one. There's another great series that have a slightly different flavor that are very good, and they're the Signet, S-I-G-N-E-T marigolds. Signet
S-I-G-N-E-G?
N-E-T.
N-E-T.
S-I-G-N-E-T. Okay. Signet marigolds. And there's, you'll see that there's tangerine, and which means they kind of have an orangish flavor and an orangish color. Tangerine and lemon signet and orange signet. But they all have a good flavor, and they're all good in salads. So the Signet marigolds are also good for eating. But that doesn't mean that the others aren't too. There's lots of other good ones out there. But Signets in particular, because they have a particular flavor. And I would think Signet marigolds would be particularly good for planting in early spring. That Hawaiian orange which is Baker Creek. I'll look it up to make sure I got the name right, but I'm pretty sure that's right. That's kind of a famous one for using in cooking.
Okay. All right. Do you have a suggestion on any place to order them?
Well, look up Baker Creek, B-A-K-E-R, Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, and I'm pretty sure that they have the Hawaiian orange that I told you about. I think they also have the Signets. There's another place that I know has Signets, and that's Renee's Garden, R-E-N-E-E, Renee's Garden. And she may have some other edible marigolds. She's very good about talking about edible flowers. So read what Renee has to say on her website about marigolds and edible marigolds. Mm-hmm. So those two sites should get you pretty far down the line, Baker Creek and Renee's Gardens.
Well, Bill, as usual, you've been very, very helpful. And I would like to say, I hope that it's okay to say this, but I hope people will be encouraged to contact the city and try to get them to help save the botanical gardens, because that is a treasure for this town that can't be replaced if they don't, you know, do the right thing.
That's right. And I don't think people, you know, I don't think people realize how important that is to gardening in the city. It's going to, a lot of plants that I see around the city are, that people are very happy with now, they were only available through the botanical gardens. And, you know, it's, that's a real thing. It will make a lot of difference to a lot of people if we don't have that, and it won't be a good difference. Thank you for reminding us.
Yeah, and even people that are new here, they don't really know that how different it is so far as the gardening to start with. So there's more things than azaleas and oak trees. And,
right.
We need to help them to learn. I mean, even the gardeners that have been here for years, they're always learning things.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, sometimes I find that the new gardeners actually learn quicker than the old gardeners because they realize, boy, this ain't Kansas anymore. This ain't Kansas anymore. It is very important. It is very important to have the Mobile Botanical Gardens. It's very important to the city.
Well, coming from you, I know a lot of the listeners will, you know, try to help out here and do that, because they know that you really are aware of everything. So I just thought I would mention it. I've sent them a letter, and I've called a couple times, but I haven't been able to reach Mr. Simpson. But I won't give up. If I have to, I'll go down there. He has that open door policy. So we'll find out how open the door is.
That's right. Well, that's very good. That's very good. It is good to hear from you. You call me back if you have any more problems on those marigold seeds.
Oh, I will, and I'll let you know how they do, too.
All right. All right.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Bill.
All right. All right. So, listen, I'm gonna start this thing here, and it's going to take me a while, but if you're interested in this Satsuma wine, One of the things we're going to have to talk about with wine, and Dan's, I know, is going to say this, the most important first step, I'm just going to say it right away, is you got to keep it clean. You got to keep it clean. This is why I don't make wine. Let me just say, I made wine before, and it was pretty nasty. And by that I mean it's not just you got to clean yourself. You got to clean everything you do with really good, because there's lots of bacteria out there that can infect the wine and make it off. Give it an off color. You want to sanitize everything. And there are a lot of people who have they have special techniques. I know Jim's got. He says he uses Be Bright from Winesmith. to really clean and sanitize everything. So that's the first stage in making this. But that's true for any wine to be successful. But Jim has this great wine, and I'm going to try to start it. And I'm going to tell you, here's where you start. You start with 60 Satsumas. Secure yourself 60 Satsumas. You can divide this by four. You can start with 20 Satsumas, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense, Jim? If you're going to do this, go ahead and start big. Because it's a process, and there's a lot going into it. So let's find 60 Satsumas, and then we're going to come back and talk about what to do to them. And then Dan's going to chime in probably in our next hour.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right round all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea. She's the sweet as Tupelo, honey. She's an angel of the first degree.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Listen, I wanted to follow up on the marigold question for Lola. I checked in Renee's gardens. It doesn't have a lot of marigold varieties, which kind of surprises me. But you can get the Orange Hawaii, I think is what they call it, Orange Hawaii Marigold, from Baker Creek. Baker Creek doesn't have a lot of Signet marigolds either, but let me tell you that one of the places it does is a place called Select Seeds. And let's see here. Let me see how many different varieties they have. Select Seeds. Yeah, they have Tangerine Gem. They have Lemon Gem. They have Paprika. So Select Seeds. Select Seeds has a lot of the Signet marigolds, and they have a very delicate, appropriate flavor for mixing in salads. They can be very good, so that's one place to go for your Signet marigolds. And that Orange Hawaii is great from Baker Creek. There are lots of other good things from Baker Creek as well as from Select Seeds. You can look through their catalog and get things. We are talking about how to make a Satsuma wine. I'm getting you started. We need 60 Satsumas, and we need a clean place to do it. 8 pounds of cane sugar, a tablespoon of pectic enzyme, 3 teaspoons of tannin. This could be pretty important. 3 teaspoons of yeast energizer, 3 teaspoons of yeast nutrient, 1 packet of EC118 yeast. Somebody who knows yeast better than I do can figure that one out. 4 Campden tablets. 1 per gallon, 2 tablespoons of potassium sorbate, and the zest of 30 Satsumas. That can be pretty important, too, is getting the zest. These are the basic ingredients, and we'll talk a little bit about how to use them. And it's not that hard. It takes some specific things. Jim is recommending that we add tannin, oak chips as well. That's to taste, and we can talk about how to do that. Dan's going to be on helping us make some wine. We're going to run out of time to really get into it this hour, but we're going to hit it big in our next hour. Hey, Adman, I'm listening. What's going on?
Yes, I was wondering, when I first started listening to your show, you made the comment that you didn't know why people in this area wanted to grow tomatoes because it was not a very good area. I'm living in Irvington now, and I find it even more difficult. I was wondering, the botanical garden, nowhere in this town, even down at, down below Irvington, the feed and seed store, all the tomato plants you can buy, Burpee's tomato plants. And I was wondering if somebody like this extension center that's on Pageant Switch couldn't get together and have tomatoes that are acclimated for this climate for sale.
Well, I know y'all, and in fact, we did, and we did work with the Auburn folks, and the varieties you're getting are Bonnie's Best. Bonnie is from is actually, I think they originated near Auburn, but they don't produce tomatoes for us. They produce tomatoes for the rest of the country. So it's they have a big market. Bonnie's does. A lot of their varieties don't do that well for us. Some of them do, but a lot of them don't. You know, tomatoes are a big subject, Abman, and we need to talk more about it. And I want to talk more about it. Let's devote a show next week to tomatoes, and let me talk a little bit more about it. Call me back, and let's talk about the right varieties to do. But let me say that two things. One, Auburn, the Auburn Experimental Horticultural Station helped us a lot. John Olive has been very good about growing tomatoes when the botanical gardens had enough money to operate a sale. And we've kind of starved the botanical gardens, so they don't really have the money anymore to do this. So John can grow the tomatoes, but there's no outlet. So we're trying to get the botanical gardens back on the proper footing so that we can have the tomato palooza again, which we did. We usually had about 20 varieties that were pretty well suited, and I'll talk about those varieties next week. So let's try to build some interest in it. We may be too late to have a tomato palooza this year, in which case it's really easy to start tomatoes from seed, which is what I do. And I got a lot of tomato varieties that I'm growing from seed. So, Adman, call me back next week and let's talk about starting those tomatoes from seed and which tomato varieties I'm using and why I think they'd be really good for the Gulf Coast.
Okay. All right. They're getting big money for them today.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Hey, Dan. So we've given ourselves 3 minutes in this hour to talk about winemaking. You can tell us everything we need to know about winemaking in 3 minutes, can't you?
A very brief synopsis.
So here's it is. We're going to start talking a little bit about wine in this hour. And Dan, can you join us in the next hour and talk a little bit about it?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to Dan has made a lot of wine. Jim's made a lot of wine, and David Hubble is tearing his house apart right this very minute. I just know he is. David Hubble is tearing his house apart, looking for the old Louisiana orange recipe, orange wine recipe that he has. That were probably made with Hamlin oranges or Louisiana sweet oranges. And that's something to think about. Satsumas are great. I think those Hamlin oranges would make a great wine. And I'll have to say, I'm not a wine connoisseur. This is why I have people who know how to do wine on the show to talk about it. And there's a lot of different wine characters. So, Dan, tell me, just in terms of the citrus wine, just briefly, how do you describe the character of a citrus wine and what we can get out of it?
It's very refreshing. The acidity in a citrus wine makes it tend to want to be a little more tart. And it actually, if you can do it, it's a little more difficult. I'm not a fan, but if you can master the steps it takes to make a sparkling wine and kind of put, when you enter the secondary fermentation process, you allow the yeast to keep fermenting slightly, and you can actually add carbonation to the bottles of the wine that you bottle, and that can really bring out the characteristics of citrus wine.
But mainly it's just, you know, a little more tart and refreshing than other wines, or how you usually think of them.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a champagne, but maybe more like a champagne kind of feel to it. Is that what we're looking for?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I like that. So let's call this Satsuma Champagne, which would not be legal if we were selling it.
It's similar. But, I don't know necessarily if you call it champagne, but we'll kind of talk about that.
Yeah, champagne is an appellation that can't be applied to Satsumas, obviously.
Yeah.
But being the kind of crass folks we are here in Alabama, we can call it Satsuma Champagne and get away with it. But it's not exactly a champagne, but that's the quality we're looking for. It's the brightness and the tartness and the clearness. It's not going to be like a deep, rich red Burgundy, right? And it's not going to have those overly sweet tones, right?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So I'm liking this idea of a Satsuma wine a lot. We got to take a break. Dan, you got to hold on. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about various citrus wine recipes because, boy, this is the time to talk about it, ain't it? We'll be back. It's my